League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
And good Saturday morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. My name is Will Doctor alongside Charlie Epps. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Good to be with you on a Saturday morning, Charlie. What's going on, bro? What do you got there?
How you doing?
Was that a little bit of how water?
How water. How water with more oxygen.
Charlie's, you know, working on a couple new friends of the show, I see.
That's exactly right. So, it's water where they've induced more oxygen, and it's more invigorating. It's something that's new, brought to the market by a friend of mine. We'll be talking more about it as time goes on. But how's the PGA Tour doing? It's kind of like Major League Baseball. Huh?
It's very interesting you bring up that comparison.
You know, and Commissioner Phil is right where Nicklaus and Palmer were in 1968 when the PGA of America wanted to split, or they wanted to split the tour and the PGA of America. And then a guy named Dean Beeman appeared. It's getting interesting, and we'll talk more about it as the hour goes.
Hey, it's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to it. And you're exactly right. Phil, back against the wall for sure this week. I'm sure Jay Monahan is thrilled to have all 10 of the top players in the world there this week. You can get them together, have some player advisory meetings. The CEO of the European Tour is in town, Riviera, this week. This seems to be a monumental week as far as the momentum swing to the PGA Tour. We'll get quotes from Brooks. We'll get quotes from Rory about their loyalty to the to the PGA Tour, and number three on why this week is so important, Charlie, you can attest to this. The amount of history on this golf course really makes it one of the best in the United States, and I'm really looking forward to getting into that today with you. But and as far as the stars at Riviera, how they're doing through the halfway point, John Rahm shoots his first round over par, 218 days, he barely survives the cut, and a couple other Sam Burns going home. Scheffler, Spieth, Thomas, all the top of the leaderboard. Neiman, a huge lead, 63-63 to start, Charlie.
Yes, sir, and golf is a very elusive game, and we'll talk about the combination that you need to have to play good golf.
Beautiful. We'll get a tip from the golf doctor in the fourth segment. We'll be right back. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour, Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. And a lot to get to today as far as the world of golf is concerned. We're going to get things started with looking back at Scottie Scheffler's win at the WM Phoenix Open and our thoughts regarding fan behavior on the 16th hole. Then we will get into the comments of Rory McIlroy and John Rahm regarding their loyalty to the PGA Tour over Greg Norman's Saudi Golf League. And we'll hear more information about Phil and Charlie's thoughts on that. Then we're going to spend a large majority of the show breaking down the Genesis Open through the halfway point, in which we'll give you the latest on Tiger Woods' comeback. And in the fourth segment, we'll hear a tip from the golf doctor and make our winning picks. But Charlie, let's start it off with the WM Phoenix Open. What a comeback for Scottie Scheffler to secure his first victory under the gun of one of the craziest venues in golf.
Do you consider that a comeback, or was it a great round of golf on moving day that got him in position to win?
I would say the only reason I would call it a comeback is because he bogeyed the 12th hole, and at that point he was two shots behind, and then he, you know, birdies four holes in a row between, you know, 13 and 17. I thought Cantlay and Tagala had a commanding lead.
You did.
I did.
Commanding.
They seem to be in control.
That's the magic of this game. You just never know when it's going to switch on you. And it was a great tournament, a great, you know, great golf. The golf course lends itself to the guys that are you know, controlling their golf ball. And Scottie Scheffler, as we well know, you know, we've known him since he's been a junior at, you know, Royal Oaks Country Club, taught by Randy Smith in Dallas, and then went to Texas, where he was a very, very powerful player. And Coach Fields knew that he was going to be something else because he made every putt he looked at as a junior. And then we saw him, you know, get to the tour, the Ryder Cup experience, and that paid off on this Sunday at Phoenix.
You know, Charlie, I had a 23-1 ticket on Scottie Scheffler last week that I gave out on the critically acclaimed RJ Bell Dream Preview podcast, and I really didn't think it was going to be Scottie Scheffler's day after the 12th hole. Like I said, he bogeys 12.
Well, so what? A bogey is a bogey. That's, you know, a triple, you know, but, you know, Nicklaus, when he won in 86, he bogeyed 12. And that gets him going again. It kind of kicks him in the butt. So to me, bogeys are going to happen.
You're exactly right. And I actually left the TV after the 12th hole to head to the restaurant that I was going to watch the Super Bowl at. I'd love to get your thoughts on the Super Bowl as well. But then, you know, the Super Bowl coverage starts on CBS. And, you know, Scheffler makes a couple birdies, and they get into a playoff, him and Cantlay.
Yeah.
Three-hole playoff.
Yep.
And, you know, I would love to see the WM get their coverage done before the Super Bowl starts, because I couldn't find a TV at this restaurant that would switch back to the WM Phoenix Open. So I had to keep up on my phone. Luckily, Scheffler got the job done. But, you know, great Super Bowl, great Sunday, you know, last week.
Great victory by him. And, The new kid on the block, a new Tony Finau.
Right.
I mean, he's built, he walks, he's so similar to Finau. You know, it's 6'4". He's got arms that are probably 38 inches long, yeah. And he lashes at the ball. And all the players to a player really remark about his short game. So he's kind of like Scottie Scheffler. His short game is second to none, but it shows you how hard it is to win. Scottie's got the win behind him. Now it's going to be interesting to see, you know, when you go into the spring golf and into the Masters, it's going to explode.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Scottie Scheffler came in the top 10 in every major last year except the Masters. He came in 18th there. You know, and it's interesting. All three playoff holes last week were on 18. I wanted to see them go back to the par 3 16th. Well, you know, what are your thoughts on that, Charlie?
That's interesting, but you know, in respect to the gallery, you know, everybody was set on 18, and
yeah.
So they got to see that as the determining hole. But 16 caused a lot of controversy. There's, you know, it's time to make a rule. You can't throw anything on the greens. Yeah. You just can't do that. You're going to hurt somebody. You're going to change the conditions of the greens. It's fun, but, you know, they've got to tone it back. To me, it's ludicrous what they did.
Yeah, and it got out of hand through the week. You know, you understand, possibly, you know, understand, even though, you know, someone gets hurt, you know, it's the PGA Tour's butt. You know, but you kind of understand Sam Ryder made that first hole-in-one since Molinari's a couple years ago. Everyone goes nuts. Okay, you get it. But by Sunday, Charlie, I mean, Justin Thomas chipped in from off the green for a birdie, and, you know, they had to stop play because the fans were going crazy. And you bring up an excellent point. I'm sure the rules will change next year. The Honda Classic, interesting enough, has already came out and said, listen, we're heightening the security around the bear trap.
Right.
The PGA National 17, we're not putting up with any of that. They're said,
no.
We're no. You throw one can, you're out of here.
Yeah.
You're out of here.
Yeah, and that has to be.
You know, moving on, Charlie, you know, we talked a bit about Brooks Koepka last Saturday and how he was in positive spirits as far as his game was concerned. He ended up finishing on tie for third. You know, I've been very impressed with a few things from Brooks, even though, you know, we'll get to Riviera this week. He's not playing the weekend, but it was great to see him, you know, get into slightly better form last week as we head into the major championship season.
Yes, I mean, it's better form, but, you know, there's so much more competition now.
Yeah.
And he get behind the eight ball, and he started out real aggressive on Sunday. He thought he had to Catbird seat. He you know, he won the tournament last year, but the sun doesn't shine on the same old dog every year. You know, you've got to, you know, start off slow, and he didn't, and the kid hung in there, and he got behind on Saturday, and he fought back. He just showed a lot of grit to be in that position. Another new face to deal with.
No doubt. Great to see Scotty Scheffler get his first win. Patrick Cantlay came in second. You know, he continues his unbelievable stretch. Hasn't finished outside the top five in a golf tournament, I think, in about five events now. I know he's won three out of his last five. So it'll be interesting to see how Cantlay transitions into the major season.
Jack Nicklaus never finished out of the top 10 in 10 years in the British Open.
Isn't that unbelievable?
No, sure. It's believable. He did it.
Yeah. Well, didn't he have – he has some crazy amount more of top 10 finishes in major championships than Tiger.
Well, he won 18 majors, and he, you know, finished second, you know, 18 times. So, but these guys, it's going to be interesting to see how long they can stay on top. Sure, there's more competition, and there's reasons for them losing it. You know, look at Jon Rahm. Early in the season, we thought he was going to win every tournament. Yeah. And now,
not how golf works.
And now the golf ball is turning left when it's supposed to turn right. The golf gods.
Excellent point, Charlie. Look forward to getting into Riviera later in the show. But I'll tell you who stayed on top for a long time is our friends over at Insperity.
Insperity. I was with them this week. I was with John Sorrentino, and we had a little business meeting, and we talked about what we're going to do this year. And Insperity is involved in the community. They support a lot of important golf tournaments to, you know, help charity, help people along. And during the recent health and economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped their clients navigate through the chaos and ultimately rise above these challenges. And we know the challenges are out there. Insperity is ready to provide support and guidance, leading their clients to resources even before their clients have a chance to ask. So what can you get from Insperity if you want help? You're going to get guidance. They're proven. They'll provide support for you. They have the resources. They have the knowledge. So if you want to grow your business, and small business is going to be challenged on the world front today because of what's going on around the world, give Insperity a call. Give them a chance. Give them a presentation. I've sent a company there, and they're meeting with them this week, and they just can't believe what a professional group of people Insperity is, and that's what you want. You want professional people helping you do professional things. Log on to Insperity.com, and I guarantee you, if you get them to your office, you're going to be overwhelmed.
And when we come back, more regarding the star players' thoughts on the Saudi Tour and more from Riviera at the Genesis Open. We'll do that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR. That makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR. That makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Charlie, PGA Tour Commish Jay Monahan has to be a bit relieved right now because the amount of star players who voiced their support for the PGA Tour this week was really a breath of fresh air for everyone.
Yes. I mean, the players are, you know, stepping up, just like Phil is stepping up. Phil's going one direction. There's a lot more players that they're loyal to the PGA of America, the PGA Tour, excuse me. So there's so much at risk, so much that yet to be determined. And Phil, as Phil can be, sometimes gets very, very one-sided, and all of a sudden he calls the PGA Tour greedy. I mean, how can they provided a format for Mr. Mickelson, since he's been a college player, to use the PGA Tour for his benefit, and grow his game, grow his bank account, and now he's saying they're greedy? I mean, come on, Phil. I think he's probably been paid already $100 million. I don't know that. But it sounds like he has. He's kind of like a turncoat.
Yeah.
You don't bite the hand that feeds you. I can see making some changes, and there's 1,000 more great golfers today that need room to play. So we have to have new tournaments, but they're just going. You know, this is a little too confrontational for me.
Oh, no doubt, Charlie. I mean, you know, Phil doesn't want to talk about the TV exposure that makes player endorsements available to valuable corporations. He doesn't want to talk about the people that find sponsors and negotiates TV deals for prize money. He doesn't want to talk about the FedEx Cup bonus points. He doesn't want to talk about the player pensions that Tiger talked about this week.
Just the infrastructure that the PGA Tour has with all of the communities that host these great events and their volunteers. Yeah. I mean, the infrastructure, where are they going to play these tournaments? There's a lot of tournaments that are not going to, you know, I don't know. It's a lot yet to be determined. But right now, I think Phil is going down the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, we've been keeping up with the upstart of the Saudi-backed Premier Golf League for weeks now. And you know, since every player inside the top 10 in the official world golf rankings is competing this week, Monahan has wasted no time at all getting these guys together for meetings, Charlie. Uniting the tour. He has Keith Pellion in town this week from the European Tour. Jobs are opening up, creating more opportunities, more of a workforce between the PGA Tour and the European Tour. And the story from the Fire Pit Collective that was beautifully written by Alan Shipnuck.
Right, I've read that.
Regarding the truth about Phil and Saudi Arabia. And if you're not familiar with Alan's work, he covered golf for, 25 years for Sports Illustrated, one of the most credible writers in the game. But that story broke and went into deep detail about how Phil and two other players were not named, possibly Bryson, but totally unconfirmed, I'm assuming there, hired attorneys to write the Saudi Golf League operating agreement so that players would have all control of their rights. And what was shocking about this, Charlie, was that Phil admitted to Alan that this is a complete sports washing project. He's not even a big fan of going over there, but just completely doing this for the money, possibly sacrificing his place in the Hall of Fame, sacrificing his place where he cements himself in history, and how the rest of the public looks at him.
Yeah, he should let the people that are in power negotiate these relationships. He's a player through and through. Now, if he wants to give up playing and become commissioner, he's got that right.
Yeah.
But he's got to, be one or the other. He can't, let the legalese be handled by people that are in that business. You know, he's been trying to perfect that flop shot all his life, and now he thinks he can, be the commissioner of golf worldwide. I don't know.
I think Phil thought that he possibly had a few more of these young stars to join the Saudi Tour. We heard this week that's not going to happen. Colin Morikawa said that he dreamed of playing the PGA Tour and beating all Tiger's records. John Rahm said he doesn't do this for the money. He's staying on the PGA Tour.
Yep.
Justin Thomas agreed. Max Homan, defending champion, not going.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy, as he's become such a great, spokesperson for the PGA Tour, had the most powerful words. He said he doesn't understand why he would go to a sports washing league where most of the players are over 40 years old. Why would Rory want to compete there for the rest of his career?
Good point. Good point. The new guys on the block, they've got to grow their product. They've got to, you know, sure, they're going to need, you know, they don't have television. They don't have volunteers. There's so many things they need. They got a lot of money, and sometimes that money is the root of all evil. So time will only tell.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people tell me that the TV doesn't matter for them because of how much money they have. But, you know, I don't think anyone can tell me that, you know, that people are going to be rushing to the TV to watch, you know, some of these players that have committed. Phil Mickelson's 51, Lee Westwood's 48, Ian Poulter's 46, Henrik Stenson's 45, Adam Scott's 41. You know, no disrespect to any of these players. They're all great champions in their own right, but you can't possibly make me believe that Paul at the pub is pressuring Bob the bartender to change it to Golf Channel when these mid-40-year-olds are on the TV. I mean, I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yep.
I mean, Del, you watch golf for, you know, maybe once a week at the Masters, possibly. But you hear this list, Mickelson, Westwood, Poulter, Stenson. Are you rushing, you know, to the TV to watch these guys?
No, I'm not looking to watch a Legends League go at it. I mean, I could make the equivalent in baseball or football. Like, I don't know, do I want to watch Dan Marino still throw the football around to I don't know, Jerry Rice? Maybe at a charity event, but not in a competitive fashion, no.
And these guys, Phil doesn't want to talk a word about charity, Charlie.
Yep.
Not a word.
And it's all about charity. That was the motto of the PGA Tour for billions of dollars, you know. So I guess is enough said. Sometimes I get a little, let's talk more about Riviera,
yeah,
and this kid shooting 126,
yeah,
on a very difficult golf course. Ideal conditions. You put a little 20-mile-an-hour wind down there, we're going to see what happens. But and they got that Kikuyu grass. See, Riviera, you know, back in the day, their roughs and that Kikuyu grass was so much more gnarly and in play. They made it easier, in my estimation. Although Lanny Watkins, you know, he holds a record at Riviera. He's something like, you know, he was 54 under par in the desert. But these young kids, Neiman, I mean, you know, Rory McIlroy is how many behind?
I think Rory's around 3 or 4 under. You know, I think he's 12 shots back. Yeah, 12 shots back, and he made the cut, which is really unbelievable. And an interesting stat here, there's currently a 16-shot gap between the leader and the player making the cut on the number at even par. In the last 40 years, the largest gap was 17 shots,
yeah,
which is unbelievable. And, Charlie, back to your point regarding the golf course, I saw a photo of Ben Hogan,
yes,
playing at Riviera way back when. And, I mean, they used – I don't know if they don't do it anymore, but the fescue, you know, or rough looked like it was above his ankles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the rough and it was much higher, and that was in the open. This is just the regular conditions of the golf course at Riviera, so the members can play it. So it's understandable that the cut was under par, and but 126 is all time record. And the guy in second place broke the record, 128.
That's right. Cameron Young, 67, yes. 62, going low. And, it's very interesting, the way that the course has developed over time, the way they set the course up. I mean, I was looking at old tape at Hal Sutton's win from the 1983 PGA Championship at Riviera, and they had the rough a little more cut then as well. I would enjoy if they raised the rough to about knee-high here, see what give the players that kind of test, but maybe they'll save that for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing they got to watch out for is the wind. And at Riviera, it's a valley going down towards the ocean, going down towards Santa Monica. That wind can whip in there, and that'll cause a lot of consternation. So, but it's still a fun tournament to watch, and we'll see this weekend how Mr. The leader.
Mr. Neiman.
Mr. Neiman can hold up to this pressure.
When we come back, more on Riviera right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
And welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. We reviewed Scottie Scheffler's first win at the WM and went through Phil and the situation with the Saudi Tour in the last segment. In case you missed that, you can find the critically acclaimed Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the podcast network of your choice, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you know, you name it, Charlie Epps Golf Hour is there. Golf Doc, what do you have for listeners today, my friend?
Well, you know, we wonder why, you know, players, you know, like John Rahm was there, apparent of winning every tournament this year, but it's so elusive, the game of golf. How do you play so well one day and so poorly the next day? Well, it's a combination of factors. And, you know, if you're opening up a combination for your safe, you have to go a little left, a little right, a little 360, and get the right combination of factors. Well, the same thing in golf. In golf, it's a combination of grip pressure. It's a combination of getting your mind into the target. Golf is a target game. It's not a swing game. It's a target game. There's a lot of different swings, but there's only one eventual target. But you got to have your target and where you want the ball to end. So that, to me, really determines the direction you swing. You always want to swing the direction you want the ball to go. And I constantly, over the years, I see people swinging. They have no concept of the club, what they're doing with the club. So get a little combination of swing awareness, the direction you want to swing the shaft of the club towards the golf ball. Do you want to come it from the way outside, or you want to come it from the inside? The inside is the way to go. So be conscious of the direction you're trying to swing the club while you're in practice, and that factor is going to be determined by how you move your body. The inside of the swing swings the outside of the swing. So you've got to really make sure that you understand how your body must move to make the club move. Very, very simple information, but you can put your arms across your chest, turn your shoulders back, turn your shoulders forward, and your hips are making that same movement. If the grip pressure's right, the club is going to move on that plane. So I know that's a little complicated, but go to your PGA golf professional. He or she can get you guiding the club with the turning motion of the body. And watch these players, record it, and watch it, and it's a little cyber vision. And copy what they do. Plain and simple.
Absolutely. You know, and Charlie, it's not only the weekend golfer that is struggling to find a way to put back to back good rounds together, a string of good golf. And when you talk about getting that downswing slotted in the correct position, that's a huge key to consistency. I mean, we relate this to the current tournament this week, and Joaquin Neiman said his biggest battle this year has been understanding how to put together strings of good golf together.
Right.
He's had spotty rounds, a miscut at the Houston Open, a miscut at the RSM with a couple good rounds in there. But he talked a lot yesterday about how just enjoying the round was a big part of that. But also, you know, working on getting his swing in that good slotted position has led to him being able to put a string of great rounds together.
Yes. He's got the combination going perfect.
Yeah, quite well this week, huh? You know, Joaquim Niemann currently in the lead at the Genesis Invitational. His two-round total at 126 sets the 36-hole tournament record at this event. Cameron Young posted a 128, and prior to Niemann and Young, four players had shot 130 or better for 36 holes at this event since 2002, according to PGA Tour communication. So 63-63 start to the event, and Niemann said after the round, "Everything working pretty well. Obviously, I'm making a lot of putts right now. I feel I'm starting my ball online with the putter. So when you have greens this good, when you have a star line this good, I think you've got a good chance of making putts. So I think that's been big for me this week. The one thing on days that I played that good and then I get to come out the day after is sometimes it's probably not as good. And that's kind of – it's a little cryptic with you know, his different language, but what he's trying to say is he's having trouble putting back-to-back rounds together.
And it's difficult. You know, you got to sleep on the lead. You got to sleep, come out, and warm up again. And the big thing in L.A. this time of year, the mornings are cold, so it takes you a little while to get the bones going, to get that rhythm going. So you start on 10 one day, which is an extremely difficult hole to start on versus number one. And yesterday, Joaquin, he bogeyed. But it's such a difficult game that you just got to keep practicing, persevering.
Yeah, and you know, by no means, Charlie, is Riviera playing easy this week. I think the one thing I did not take into consideration, you know, was the wind. Guys like Brooks Koepka, who teed off in the afternoon on Thursday, were completely blindsided with, you know, 20 mile per hour winds, and with the fairways being this narrow, the greens as firm as a countertop, you know, it was really tough for that side of the draw. The other thing, you know, you mentioned 10, the 10th hole Riviera.
Yes.
What an unbelievable hole. You know, I saw Colin Morikawa dump it in that front bunker yesterday. And, you know, he's sitting at 6-7 under. But, you know, a tournament can get away from you around that green.
Yeah.
It's really unbelievable. It's a par 4.
You can make a 6 there before you make, you know, a par. So different holes for different folks, and the green is set at a position that's counterintuitive, and it messes with your mind. It's great.
And you know, a couple other notables to miss the cut this week. Dustin Johnson missed the cut, 3-time Genesis Invite champion. Bubba Watson is heading home after 2 days. Sam Burns missed the cut. John Rahm barely survived the cut, shot his first round over par since the Open Championship. So, contrary to Niemann 63, a lot of top-ranked players going home this week, Charlie.
See ya.
Taylor Gooch, number two in FedEx Cup rankings, 8 over for 2 days. That's tough.
That's celebration.
Yeah, I think
something happened.
Yeah, something's going on there. Something's going on. Maybe a big party in L.A. You know, it's not All-Star Weekend. NBA All-Star Weekend's in Cleveland. But, you know, with how narrow the fairways are, the rough up, you know, Tiger said a bunch before this week started, you know, he's making this place as hard as possible, and that's what it's looking like this week. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Charlie, Tiger gave us a few words this week. That's one of the nice things about the Genesis Invitational. Tiger Woods Foundation hosts the event now. It was nice to hear from Tiger, but still a long road.
A long road to recovery. He suffered a very, very serious accident to his feet. Yeah. You know, today we're hearing it's so important to have good footwork. Well, if you had your ankle crushed and trying to work back at the age of 46, he's been very open with that and very realistic that he's ready for the challenge as he can do. I mean, this man has proven that he can overcome a lot of different things and still win a golf tournament. But I thought his press conferences that he gave were very enlightening.
Yeah.
He still loves to talk about playing with his son. That comeback started with him, you know. But he can't walk 72 holes of golf. He can't endure and it's coming out. You know, everybody thought golf was not a sport. But, you know, it's 6 days of hard work. And Tiger can't do that now, but he's using his philosophy. And, you know, his dad always said that Tiger is going to do something much more important than win golf tournaments. So his mindset is maybe changing a little. I keep trying to read between the lines on, you know, he's being very diplomatic about what's going on off the golf course with the new league, yeah. and his loyalty to the PGA of America. So time is only going to tell, but I think eventually he'll get his words in.
Yeah, for the first time in his career, as you said, you know, has turned down the notion that he will ever play a full season again.
Right.
But he's still very motivated to getting back to a schedule of his choice, competing at major championships. You know, hopefully Augusta and a couple open championship venues is what, you know, I think we can expect. But yeah, you're spot on with, I think, that, you know, I talked about the momentum of the PGA Tour this week and getting that power over the, you know, Saudi Golf League or any other tour for that matter. And I think it does still ultimately start with Tiger Woods. And when he came out earlier this week and said, look, I, you know, pledges his allegiance to the PGA Tour, you know, he didn't officially turn down the Saudi Golf League. But the bottom line is the PGA Tour is going to come up with four off-season events with a similar format that they're proposing. They're going to take the idea, whether you like it or not. They'll pay Tiger a couple million to show up, you know, one of those four tournaments. And, you know, that this ultimately this golf league will be forgotten about.
I'm not sure.
Now, you know, another, you know, not to go back to that, but it's not all, you know, all the responses to the Saudi Golf League aren't bad. Jason Kokrak came out and said, look, I'm going over there. I want to make a bunch of money. I want to retire at 45 and I want to watch my kids grow up. I can totally understand that. I can totally understand that. Can you? No?
Yeah, sure, sure. That it's easy to say that when you're 30. But then when you get to be 45, man, I want to keep playing. Yeah. I want to keep playing. Well, the PGA Tour has that.
Yeah.
They have the Champions Tour. So you go and you stream along because golf is a game of lifetime. And I can make testament to that. I shouldn't be playing golf right now. but it is something that draws you to go out there and try to hit one more good shot.
Yeah, but you'll still beat 99% of the golfers out there, Charlie. Yeah. So why would you stop? Huh? Why would you stop? When we come back, picks for the Genesis Invitational right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. And what a leaderboard we have. You know, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth rattling around in the top five. These two guys grew up competing against each other. And a little nugget for you, Charlie. Spieth led the University of Texas to a national championship at Riviera in 2012,
right,
over Justin Thomas's Crimson Tide.
That's right.
Do you know who won the individual leaderboard of that event?
No, I can't remember.
Thomas Peters.
Thomas Peters, an Englishman.
Belgium.
Belgium.
Just
Belgium.
Won the Abu Dhabi Championship, yeah, 2 weeks ago. Actually missed,
yeah,
the cut. So he's out.
Yeah.
Charlie, looking down this leaderboard, what are you thinking this week?
Well, you know, it's an impressive 36 holes of golf. And we know I don't think he's going to end up 32 under par.
No.
Over the weekend. This young kid, I don't know who he is. Justin Thomas, Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth.
Morikawa lurking,
but they're eight shots back.
Yeah,
so you know, I would pick Neiman over Young, but I think it could be Justin Thomas. He's been, you know, gaining momentum. He could steal this weekend. So I'm going to pick Justin.
You know, great pick, and you know, it's tough because Neiman shoots, you know, comes back to earth and shoots even par. You know, you look at the guys in the 8-under, 7-under range, Colin Morikawa, Cameron Smith, Victor Hovland lurking down there at 7-under. Mark Leishman has had a great start to the year. It could become a tournament. It could be a lot more bunched heading into Sunday. I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa, who's sitting at 8-under,
wow,
currently 8 shots back. You know, I forget what year, but Tiger won this event 1 year coming back from 9 shots. That's the biggest comeback of Riviera at this event. So we'll see.
Adam Scott's won here before, and he's been tinkering with his putting. Maybe it's he's found the right combination.
What do you think about all the tinkering, Charlie? Is it something that just kind of has to happen? Does it happen a
lot?
Well,
you have to. That's what golf's all about. Don January, the great Don January, PGA champion, I asked him one day, I said, Don, when you start putting bad, what do you do? He said, well, I just teach myself a new way to putt. You know, you've got to go to, not to extreme, but you got to approach it from a different angle, get yourself fresh, get your eyes working a little better, get your hands working a little better. So something new is good.
Adam Scott, currently sitting at 9-under, someone that's going to the Saudi Tour. You know, could a win change his mind this week?
You think he's going to the Saudi Tour?
He's on this proposal. Supposedly they have 20 players already, Charlie.
20.
And they're going to have a meeting, a little players meeting at the Players' Championship. Try to piss off Jay.
Hey, you ready for skiing?
That's right. I'm not going to be with you next week. Heading out. It'll be Charlie taking you through the show. Going to give you a great Honda Classic week right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Dell behind the glass. We appreciate it. Charlie, wonderful show today.
Thank you very much, everybody. I'll have a good week. And swing easy.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. See you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.